Welcome to Pod Save America. I'm John Favreau.
I'm John Lovett.
I'm Tommy Vitor.
On today's pod, we'll talk about how we did with our 2020 New Year's resolutions and make some new ones for 2021. But before that, we're starting a new tradition here at Pod Save America where we take a look back at the worst takes of the year, including our own. Welcome to the first annual Pundies.
Accountability. It's coming back. It's back in style.
The Pundies. A few quick notes before we get started. A new episode of Gaining Ground, The New Georgia, drops Tuesday. Check out this episode wherever you get your podcasts. Catch up on the whole series. It's fantastic. New episodes come out every Tuesday. Go listen. And speaking of Georgia, we are just days away from the January 5th runoff that will determine control of the Senate. If you're ready for a new year and a new Georgia, head over to votesaveamerica.com/Georgia to find something you can do in the home stretch. There will be volunteer opportunities available right up until the polls close on January 5th. Sign up for a shift today. votesaveamerica.com/Georgia. Okay, gentlemen, let's get to it. We are going to start with everyone else's bad takes,
yes.
And then we're going to work our way to our own bad takes.
If we have time.
Tommy, if we have time. Yeah, who knows? We might be out of time before. It's a podcast. They only give us so much time on this thing.
Yeah.
Tommy, you got a bad take?
Well, look, we learned the hard way that predictions are not the best idea in 2016, so we tried to steer clear of them this cycle. That doesn't mean that others in the take industrial complex followed suit. So I just took some headlines, I think, that were about Joe Biden that are kind of worthy. I'm not going to name names necessarily because no reason to be that mean. But, the Boston Globe had an op-ed that said the new rules of electability mean Joe Biden can't win. That one felt a touch off. Safe candidates lose. Passionate crusaders win. When you write your checks or vote in your primary, go with your gut. Hey, I'm that last sentence, I'm all for it, but the first part, maybe not. USA Today, Joe Biden can't beat Donald Trump or restore decency. I guess jury's still out on half of that one, maybe.
Was that the USA Today editorial board?
No, it was an opinion contributor.
Fuck that person.
Okay, John. Politico article from March 13th. A never Biden movement vows not to vote for Joe. On Tuesday night, Joe Biden's campaign was celebrating his latest primary night triumph. By Wednesday morning, never Biden, write in Bernie, Dem exit 2020 hashtags began trending on Twitter. Oh no. Oh no, not trending. No,
not so much. Not so much.
There's a whole cottage industry of takes that Joe Biden was in cognitive decline. I feel like all of those people should feel quite bad about those takes. Basically, everything written by the Wall Street Journal editorial page about Tony Bobulinski and Hunter Biden didn't quite pan out. I don't know. I'll pause there. I mean, I have one more when we come back, but your thoughts.
I should say, by the way, to everyone, these aren't necessarily all the worst takes of the year, because one group of people I imagine we're probably going to leave out, are Donald Trump, everyone associated with his campaign, and Fox News and Newsmax. Obviously all of their takes are the fucking worst, but we've been saying that all year, so we're really trying to branch out with the other takes, as Tommy has done with his. Love it. What do you think?
So it's funny, I'm just also obviously Joe Biden winning is was good for a variety of reasons. I don't want to overstate it. But one thing you do see is that there are a lot of people who had invested a lot of energy in the argument that he couldn't win for a variety of reasons that were important to what they would be saying right now had he lost. And I'm really glad that those arguments are not around right now. I think it's a very good thing.
Totally agree. If your role in politics is slowly polishing your take about why the person who isn't quite liberal enough for you in your party didn't win and why you were right, I have very little time for you.
Yeah. And I will say also, it was funny listening to those takes about why these never Biden hashtags, whatever. I always think about, it's just a fact that has stuck with me my whole life, which is that there was a poll that showed a majority of primary voters would never, ever support Bill Clinton as the Democratic nominee, weeks before he became the Democratic nominee. And it's worth remembering for all of us that even opinions we hold about politics that we think are immutable will change really, really fast.
Yeah. As Ted Lasso says, be a goldfish. We just forget.
That's mine. I'm going to watch that over the break.
Television
it's
show of the year.
So good. We can I just play you one more, guys?
I'm so glad you finally got into it.
So we're going to throw to some audio, because I think this might be the most accurate, but also the worst take rolled into one. And I want to enjoy it with you and watch your faces.
Exciting. Uh-oh,
I feel like this is us.
Ladies and gentlemen, leaders and fighters for freedom and liberty and the American dream, the best is yet to come.
That was Kim Guilfoyle.
She was right.
She was right.
The best is yet to come. Joe Biden won the election. Kim Guilfoyle gave a good take there.
Well, in the middle was mass death, but yes.
That's true.
I filmed a little video of Pundit running around in the snow, and she was just like, throwing her face into this like fresh white powder.
Okay.
It was an adorable, it's an unrelated. What? Why I don't, so, it's just a cute thing I saw.
Pundits do takes, yeah.
I have a bad take. There were several times over the last year, really over the last 4 years, where journalists and pundits had an insatiable urge to believe that 74-year-old Donald Trump had finally changed his ways. Let's take a listen. I think we have a clip.
He became president of the United States in that moment, period.
82% of people who saw the speech called Mr. Trump presidential, including a majority of Democrats.
The president had a very steady tone. I didn't count a single insult.
If Trump continues with this tone and temperament, if he continues with what he was doing before, who knows where Americans will be in the next few days or weeks.
The Donald Trump that we saw today here at the Times was a different tone.
He sounded positive. He seemingly recognized the power of his office.
President Trump seemed sobered by these first 40 days in office, didn't he?
Then today, another speech and a starkly different tone.
Striking a different tone.
Dramatic change in tone.
Strikingly different tone.
Tone was markedly different.
Significantly changing his tone.
Stunning change in tone from just last Friday.
In his first White House coronavirus briefing in months, President Trump sharply changed his tone.
Now we have a significant shift in tone.
It was a totally different message and different tone.
I do think this press conference will be remembered for the change in tone from the president.
I mean,
also,
first of all, thank you to Yale for putting that compilation together.
Great library music. Great library music. Great music choice. Really important.
I can't wait to share that on social media.
Yeah, it's John's ringtone.
There's a video component to all of that, so we'll put that up.
Also, I know I can recognize a lot of those voices. A lot of those people are very smart. I don't know how you get pulled into saying this shit.
4 years. I think the new tone stuff, particularly around COVID, will always get me the angriest. Although it's funny because at the time, that this is how he became president around striking Syria, or not striking Syria, was the old winner for making me the most mad about new tone. But the COVID stuff really took the cake. Remember after that first press conference, and they were all like, oh, wow, he's very presidential now. He's really taking this seriously. Yeah, that panned out.
Yeah, I mean, just it does seem that there was like I think that there are a mix of motivations. Obviously, every person has different motivations. I think at times it was sort of fanciful thinking, like a desire for it to be true. At times it was a desire to just say something different. And then there was also this moment where there was this sort of idea that, like, if enough reporters start rewarding Trump for having a better tone, it would be reinforced and might have a positive result. But yeah, here we are from day one to the coup. Didn't work.
Yeah, it hasn't
Didn't
learned.
Work.
Any other, you guys got any other, some outside bad takes?
I will say, this is a subtler bad take, because I think that there have been some incredibly frustrating Nate Silver takes, and some incredibly frustrating anti-Nate Silver takes. And here is where I have landed on all of this, which is...
Both sides in this
in
one,
In fairness,
huh?
I will, absolutely. Mm-hmm. In fairness to my mathy friends, to the modelers, I don't believe Nate Silver ever overinterprets the model that he has built. But what frustrates me is that there is a kind of, there's the creation of these models. Then there is an argument that says, don't overinterpret these models. Don't take these things too seriously. They can't say more than exactly what we say they can say. But you can't lament the fact that the model is being overinterpreted when the model exist and succeed so that people who aren't as familiar with the statistics can overinterpret it. And so it's like at a certain point, the bad take is believing assigning a percentage to an election has value and can be interpreted broadly in a way that's helpful to anybody. That's my model take after election two of the models being frustrating. Not that they were wrong.
Well, I also just think like there's a very helpful part of it where they're just sort of like compiling polls and like doing sort of like statistical analysis, but then they sort of jam in a bunch of factors that are kind of impossible to quantify, like press coverage or fundraising or things that it's like, wow, how are you deciding how that's weighted?
The thing that most frustrated me is, and we'll get to polls at one point, but like there was a take after the polls were off this time that it's like, well, you know, the polls weren't so far off in a lot of places and they weren't so bad in comparison to history, but it's like, okay, if the tipping point state is Wisconsin and the Wisconsin polls were off by just as much, if not more, than they were last time, then that's a huge fucking problem for polls.
Yeah.
I don't care if the California polls were better. You know, like, we don't care about other polls. We care about what happens in fucking Wisconsin because that's the tipping point state.
Totally. But I also, this to me is, I think, why I think some of the critics of the models are going too far. That's not on the people using the polling as best they can to create these models.
Oh, I totally agree. Nate takes a lot of the heat and the modelers and the pundits for the actual pollsters who got it wrong.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I understand the frustration of people like Nate Silver because they're like attacked for all these reasons that aren't true, but it's just like, how dare you attack me for my model, you mathematical morons? Now, right. Carefully interpret this incredibly complicated model based on mathematical formulas and statistics that are far beyond anything I will explain.
I would argue their Twitter tone does them no favors in this regard either. Here's a more cut and dry one. On a North Dakota radio show, Eric Trump claimed his father literally saved Christianity. That's a quote.
Wait, I got a few, and I just made up this game on the spot. I'm going to read the take and see if you guys can guess what.
Ooh, I love this.
This is exciting.
Okay. Just on the spot, I just thought about doing this.
I'm so excited. I'm going to use a gayer voice for it.
This was an April column, is the hint. An April column. Mm-hmm. And the title of the column was America Shouldn't Have to Play by New York Rules. And maybe that might have given it away. And here's a quote from it. It is stunning to contemplate the extent to which the country's COVID-19 crisis is a New York crisis. Mm. No wonder so much of America has dwindling sympathy with the
Brett
idea
Stevens,
of prolonging...
Brett Stevens. Yes.
In April, Brett Stevens said that we should have no more lockdowns, no more restrictions, because it's only New York that's hurting from COVID and the rest of the country is fine. Curves are flattening. Hospital systems haven't come close to being overwhelmed. Americans have adapted to new etiquettes of social distancing. That's Tommy's best friend, Brett Stevens, from New York Times.
From the mind that brought you Cinqueron's Navy. It'll be very simple to do that. No problem.
This piece is from February, after the virus just began to hit. Called Donald Trump the luckiest man. Quote, Democrats are on the defensive after Trump's impeachment acquittal and Iowa debacle. A Democratic socialist is surging in the race. And some economists think that post-coronavirus, a recovery wave will push an economic surge closer to the election. Trump is enjoying the same lucky breaks in politics that he enjoyed in birth and business.
I have a guess. Is that Hugh Hewitt?
Kim Strassel?
Nope, not Hugh Hewitt. Not Kim Strassel. Much more mainstream.
Name names.
No, I don't know.
It is Axios' own Jim Vandehei.
Wow.
Oh, man.
That is bad. Oh, my God.
Yikes. Yikes.
Wow. About that one.
He strassled himself.
About that one.
Jeez. That's not right.
That was fun. That was fun. There was also a lot of Trump might dump Pence takes. Mm. There was a whole cottage industry.
Look, I rode that so tiger for a little bit. I was pretty into that one for a little bit. That was fun.
Some people wrote the some people were you know, Trump might dump Pence curious, right? Here's a quote. This is not a prediction. It's a certainty. Mm. On Thursday, July 16th, that's the date the Democrat gives his or her acceptance address. On that day, to interrupt the narrative, Donald Trump will call a press conference at Mar-a-Lago. He's going to dump Mike Pence and put Nikki Haley on the ticket to try to get those suburban
moms. I got it. QAnon. No?
It was very smart Democratic strategist Paul Begala, who just like this is the trouble with being so certain in your predictions.
Yeah, it's Twitter brain.
I would not look. Pundits have been known in the past to get a hot tip and then pass it off as a prediction. Maybe it was in the works. Maybe it almost happened. I wouldn't look. Yeah. Trump changes his mind a lot, and look, it's dumping true. Mike Pence, he couldn't have lost more, I guess, you know.
It's fair.
One that we have to point out is the reelected senator from Maine, Susan Collins, after Trump's impeachment. And she said, I believe the president has learned from this case and will be much more cautious in the future.
Yeah, well, you know what? She laughed last on that one.
She did. She did. She laughed last on that one. The people of Maine heard that and they said, you know what? Six more years.
I will say, you know, on impeachment, there were takes in a variety of directions as to how important it would be. And they all turned out to not really be true. Like, it's hard to say that the election shifted at all in any direction because of impeachment. We barely remembered it happened by the time we got to November.
I feel like we all were kind of exactly on board with that one.
Oh, I was.
That was kind of
my thing.
I thought impeachment would have some kind of effect, and it had no effect anywhere.
Yeah, it was a waste of time.
So, Tommy, this is your best friend. I think you'll see by June, a lot of the country should be back to normal, and we'll be really rocking by July.
Oh, Jared.
Rocking by July.
Yep, there you go.
Rocking by July is what got it.
Rocking by July.
What he meant was really rocking super tight suits and VC vests. Like his boys. Can I give you a...
I mean, they did rock over the summer. They just were super spreader events.
That's right. Can I give you a take genre that I think just has to be mentioned, which was shadow app conspiracy mongering. Remember around Iowa?
Oh, nice.
When the Iowa caucus results didn't come in and it just exploded on the internet as if this was some like conspiracy theory to take down Pete or Bernie or everybody, right? The Intercept had a piece about the headline was "New Details Show How Deeply Iowa Caucus App Developer Was Embedded in Democratic Establishment," as if this was some plan. People were accusing Mayor Pete of like paying for the shadow app as part of a plan to take down Bernie. One person tweeted, honestly, this is on Obama, who spent more effort getting a rather incompetent Tom Perez to be the head of the DNC than on any other post-presidential political effort. Yes, Barack Obama coded the shadow app and he sold it to the Iowa Democratic Party. Just absolute madness. Madness.
We were accused because we know Tara McGowan. Yeah.
We took a picture at a birthday party. And in the end, it was a incredibly sneaky effort by Mayor Pete to sabotage results he ultimately was the winner of, thereby denying him the momentum into future contests. I am
very happy that whole thing happened, though, because it led me to mute a ton of people that I have not thought about ever since.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Mm-hmm. And my life is better. I'm trying to think of another. Oh, there's if it ends up that Biden wins, I guarantee you the week after the election, suddenly all those Democratic governors, all those Democratic mayors will say everything's magically better. Go back to work. Go back to school. That's wrong and it's cynical.
Ted Cruz.
That's wrong
Shame
and it's
on
cynical.
Them.
Yeah, that
Shame
is,
on them.
That
tisk.
Is cynical, Ted.
Tisk, tisk.
That's fucking cynical.
Tisk, tisk.
Can I read you a take and you guys guess who it was? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a two-parter.
I love games.
In October, this person said, why aren't they talking about deaths regarding COVID? Because the number is almost nothing, because we've gotten control of this thing. ... Fast forward a month later, posted, apparently I got the Rona.
Oh, shit. It's some kind of a Trumper.
Apparently.
It was absolutely a Trumper.
Apparently, I've got the Rona.
Think like
Don Jr.
Divorce dad energy. Yes. Yes. Don Jr.
Yes.
Don Jr.
Don Jr. Any other ones? Or are we good? Is that it for outside takes?
Well, let me give you one more.
Just rolling around in the snow.
One more. March 13th. Hashtag coronavirus advice. Everyone should also insure with an I. Mouth and throat are moist, never dry. Take a few sips of water every 15 minutes. Even if virus gets into your mouth, drinking water or other liquids will wash them down through your throat and into stomach, where acid will kill virus.
Oh, whoa.
What?
Who is that?
Geraldo Rivera. He tweeted that.
He's been special this year. One more. This goes to your first round of takes, Tommy. This will be decided in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. I know what will work there. Safe will not work. Biden, we will lose because Biden is Hillary.
Biden is Hillary.
Michael Moore?
Yes.
Oh, good one.
Yes. Yes.
Very good.
Come on. Come on.
Nailed that.
Yeah, that was very
That's
impressive.
A pull. I'm proud of that.
That's a great pull.
I'm proud of that. Well, he also, Michael Moore also told me on stage, it was a moment of, there was a real moment of kind of, I don't know, of like good feeling about like how we were all collectively going to fight. And I said, I asked him, I thought I was like kind of teeing him up and I asked him about Biden. And I thought, I was like, oh, maybe he'll say, so. And then he just said, Biden won't be the nominee. I was like, oh, okay. Well,
I was there for a while too. I didn't think he was going to be the nominee.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was going to say, we're not in our own bad takes yet, but if we want to talk about the Biden thing, we got pretty close, pretty close. Well, we didn't go there, but
We left ourselves a couple of exits. You could pull a lever and get down a raft and get out, right? You know,
if you listen to the pods of us between him, specifically between him losing Iowa and winning South Carolina, we were fairly down on his chances.
Listen, I think the Biden team, over a couple of beers, would tell you that
they were too.
The Iowa results being a wash was a weird sort of X factor. No one anticipated it. Taking fifth in New Hampshire was certainly not the plan. And then that sort of that New Hampshire night event he did in South Carolina, it did not have a great feeling. And then they did an incredible job kicking ass in South Carolina, the Clyburn endorsement, and it changed everything. And then obviously COVID hit. So, you know, it was complicated, as I think what everyone would admit to here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anzalone, John Anzalone, who's their pollster, was on Hacks on Tap. And he was talking about this and he said that they knew that Iowa wasn't going to go well, but they didn't know it was going to go that poorly. And then they said that they both go into South Carolina the night of New Hampshire, like you said, and their second place finish in Nevada, even though it wasn't super close to Bernie, the fact that it wasn't about Bernie, it was the fact that they finished ahead of everyone else in Nevada, set them up for South Carolina without much competition aside from Bernie.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was sort of what did
for
it.
Sure.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, let's do some of our own bad takes. I have this take, and I'll do the take first, and then we can assign it. Do I think the Biden campaign will be actively competing and spending money in Georgia and Texas come October? No, I do not. It's probably wishful thinking. I think soon Texas and Georgia will be battlegrounds, but I don't think yet this cycle.
Look, I'll cop to that one. I'd say I was 50% right there, okay? And I also think you could argue that
the take is half full, Tommy.
The take is half full. You could.
Well, they did compete and spend money in Texas.
Yeah, but barely. I mean, right? Like, I think that we were focused on the traditional battleground states, and then Georgia became the real, real stretch where we were actually sending the candidates. They were sending Barack Obama. They were sending big surrogates. So, look, once again, Stacey Abrams was right. We were wrong. It could have been in part of our Adopt a State program. It's not. I'm gonna spread this take around like a fine, shit smelling mulch all around Crooked Media.
Like Barack Obama to a plumber.
I'm spreading the wealth around, remember?
Joe
the plumber, yeah.
I take it back emotionally. Yeah, Joe the plumber.
I'm mad at myself for not pushing harder on Georgia. Not that I thought it the whole time, although later in that thing, I made the case for Georgia, but only because like, I'm most at fault here because I sat down with Stacey Abrams for The Wilderness and she made the pitch for me about Georgia and it was a really good pitch. And then I was just still like, yeah, it just seems like if we're at Georgia, we've already won North Carolina or Florida. Guess not.
Right. That's what's interesting. Like, yeah, like we did six. Which state would we have swapped out? I guess we would have swapped out Florida, North Carolina for Georgia if we knew.
But it's also hard to imagine not competing in Florida and North Carolina either.
Got to try. You
know? Like,
right. Got to try.
They were still close.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. What's I love it. You haven't told us. Do you want to do your own bad take? Because you haven't told us which bad take you want.
I'll read number 9. All of you privately in the office saying that Elizabeth Warren was going to be the nominee, frown face.
Now, I don't think that she was going to be the nominee.
I don't think so
in the
either.
Office. We all liked Elizabeth Warren. See, that was the.
I was certainly taken by her Iowa organization. I was very impressed by her campaign.
Yes.
Jordan Waller is in the chat now saying, this is a lie. Jordan, give us you have receipts. Did you record your bosses while we said this? No, you didn't. So then we don't believe you.
No mics didn't happen. Instagram or it didn't happen.
But this is why we were good on predictions because we're out of the predictions business. We came close on Warren, but I don't know that we liked Warren. That's for sure.
Jordan said, I caught Lovett saying vote for Warren from a pod at least 3 times.
Okay, that's fair, Jordan. That's fair. I didn't say that.
I didn't say that either.
I'll let that in the world. You all know. It's okay.
Here's one. This is our staff really helpfully, I guess, looked back through our internal office slacks and found this one from me. I said, public service announcement. The polling bots that do flashback to 2016 drive me fucking insane. State polls were not weighted by education in 2016. It was the main problem with the state polls. They overestimated the number of college-educated voters and underestimated the number of non-college-educated voters. That's why they looked better for Hillary than they should have. Most high-quality pollsters have corrected this problem. Very confident. I was very confident that the polls had been fixed. They had not been fixed. It turns out that even though they changed the weighting so they had more non-college educated white voters in the polls, those non-college educated white voters that they got when they changed the weighting happened to be the 30% of non-college educated white voters who voted for Biden. So it didn't work. And we have a real fucking problem with polling going forward, where it's just that people with low social trust who don't want to answer phones, who don't want to take surveys because they don't trust anything, don't trust any institutions, also happen to be Trump voters. And that could be a real problem with the polling industry going forward.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great, especially because these elections are all, you know, look, so many of them are so close. And it's like, let's find out after the election how accurate the polls are, kind of does away with the value.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travis suggested we should talk about Lovett insulting Schitt's Creek. How dare you?
I love Schitt's Creek. I love Schitt's Creek. I will cop to having a class critique of the family that they come into the
love
town.
It, love it, love it. Tommy and I are just sitting here quietly, by the way.
He's dissembling.
I will say, here's my issue. They lose everything. They're laid low. They show up in the town. Pretty quickly, they're running an apothecary. The other runs a hotel. They very quickly regain some of their status. They become bosses again. Mm. That's it. That's my critique. You know, hashtag Bernie or bust.
One of our fantastic producers, Caroline Reston, wanted to point out that Tommy compared the transitional clusterfuck to a Bravo show and that this is unfair to Bravo shows / imply something negative. And then she added a note, this does not have to be an anonymous addition. I'm happy to slap my name to this complaint.
Yeah. So Caroline, I'm not a heavy Bravo watcher, but like, I feel like the core kernel of a lot of Bravo reality shows is they're just messy as hell. Am I not wrong? Are the Kardashians like thoughtful? Like,
that's why we love Bravo shows, right?
I don't even get it. It's not an insult.
It's just such a shame that this conversation about Bravo is taking place with two straight guys and the only gay person at Crooked Media that doesn't watch them constantly.
Oh God. Jordan Waller says the Kardashians are not Bravo. Whatever. I stand by my take.
Ooh, tough. Are they Bravo-ish? Is that?
Yeah, I think so. E Bravo, same shit. Same exact shit. E Bravo, whatever. You know what I mean?
We're going to do resolutions. We're going to start our resolutions from last year, see how we did. And we actually have clips of these resolutions so we can hold ourselves accountable. Let's play my resolution here.
I cannot spend all of my day and all of my night paying attention to politics, reading about politics, looking on Twitter, being on my phone. So I know everyone says things like, oh, I want to read more. I am setting a goal for myself of one book per month.
Mm.
I think that is, I don't know if that's a lot or not because I haven't read in years. And then I am just so anxious all the time. I think that I have to start like therapy? Meditation. Oh, I've never done any kind of meditating.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I've done none of that.
Zero meditation.
I mean, no, so I read, zero times. I probably read three books. So that's three. I am just as anxious. I spend just as much time paying attention to politics. And I am just getting through promised land now.
Listen, John, I think, you know, hope springs eternal on the meditation front. We can do a guided one as a team, as a podcast. Maybe we start every episode with a 10-minute guided meditation.
I would appreciate that.
As long as I can be on my phone.
Let's hear Love It.
I want to have a sustainable model for eating food such that I don't feel guilty about what I'm eating. And so for me, what has worked in the past is clean, good eating decisions most of the week, and then two absolutely fucked up, balls to the wall, no holds barred, no rules, no society, no cameras, no one watching dinners. I want to get the bad feelings away from the food. I want to be in work, in life. I just want to, these three things I want to always be thinking about. I want to be positive, I want to be generous, and I want to be disciplined. And I just a little more positivity, a little more generosity, and a little more discipline will go a long way to making me someone other people will want to be around.
Holding yourself to a positivity take is tough in a pandemic, you know?
This was tough. Mm. I will say, so
I think you've been a little more disciplined.
I do too.
I think you've been much more disciplined. You've done a good job on that
second one. I've really, thank you for saying so. I think I've tried. On the food front,
I didn't say anything about that.
I failed so completely. I failed so spectacularly. We went to Vegas for the caucuses. I mean, I didn't know about the caucuses, but I found out.
My last trip out of California in 2020.
Yeah. Got to Vegas, found out about the caucuses. Good coincidence. But I ate two buffets there, which is obscene. We were there for a weekend. I ate two buffets. And in my mind, it was a last hurrah.
Well, it was. You were right.
What I mean is I thought I would get back and have good eating habits and really try. That never happened. I have felt a little guilty with every bite of food I have taken this year. Every healthy meal feels like a sop to failure. Every cheat feels like an undeserved calamity. And it is horrible because I eat a couple times every day. So I have got to get this in check, not just for health, but because I connecting food with these bad feelings all the time is so unhealthy, and I need to stop. I need to stop.
Jokes aside, like,
you know,
Noom,
this is being recorded as well too, right?
Yes.
Noom will help with this, I think, right? For real.
I think Noom has helped. Noom will help. I also will say as long as I'm in an unhealthy body image place, I will say I saw the interview I did with Matto and I look like a bloated, mummified corpse. And I realized I forgot to drink water in 2020. And I would lie to you and say that it's because I want to be healthier. But if I drink a glass of fucking water, I look 10 years younger. It's the fountain of youth.
Oh, okay. That's great. That's easy. It's a good solution.
So try Hydrant.
Yeah.
We're just dropping sponsors now.
I just got to alternate water with Diet Coke and coffee. And this tumbler has the ice from my coffee, and I filled it with Diet Coke once it was empty.
I've done that. It's okay.
All right.
Don't hurt yourself.
Let's hear Tommy's.
My first resolution is to not get upset when I don't follow through with any of my resolutions. You know that little notification that comes through on your phone on Sundays that says you've spent X number of hours on your phone this week?
Yes,
I need
do.
That guy to go down.
What's yours at?
Over 4 hours. I need that thing to go down.
Yours is over 4 hours?
Oh, I will not share mine.
What is it? What is it? What is it?
Definitely over four.
I want to, this came up today. I want to if you're going to donate money to candidates, I want to do it earlier. And I want to do it until it hurts a little bit. I want to go to more movies in the theater.
Great.
IPIC. More IPIC.
That's great, movies in the theater.
Well,
what a bummer.
That is so sad. That is bummer. So sad. Really sad. That last one is so sad.
I did give to candidates movies earlier, in the theater. And it did hurt. I got in trouble with Hannah at one point. But yeah.
The movies in the theater. And I talked about the IPIC. Boy, do I miss the IPIC.
Me too, man. God.
People have been tweeting pictures from last year's tour shows. And it made me very sad. Also, I believe our tour shows for 2020 went up like mid-February, like the promotion for all the shows went up like right before. What a bummer.
What a bummer.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
All right, well, let's talk about resolutions for this year. Who's got some resolutions for 2021 they want to share? Tommy?
Sure. I mean, I did my normal thing of like a bunch of little ones. So I'll give you my bucket of work ones. Turn off the camera during Zoom. I miss real meetings, but I hate that every call has been replaced by a Zoom. I want to end the tyranny of the Zoom camera always being on because you end up looking at yourself and I hate it. One, short emails. I read one of those articles about how like effective people just like reply really quickly to stuff. I want to do that. No fluff.
Oh, wow.
Maybe that's...
That would be so cool.
Maybe that's not doable in this sort of like ultra fraught.
Let's all
like,
do it. Let's all do workplace. It.
Right. You just get a reply, like just the facts. And then you guys, I know you guys feel the same way about this one. I want to fix my schedule. My work week structure for listeners back home is basically like be as anxious as humanly possible Sunday through Tuesday when we wrap Pod Save the World. And then like Thursday, Friday, sometimes I'm like, what should I do today? And I got to figure out a way to be more efficient or spread this stuff out or else I'm just going to be a nightmare.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, I need to get back into a routine. I've said this every year for 4 years, but it continues to be true because sometimes like I need to get up earlier. Even when I'm on the East Coast, I feel like I wake up behind you. Tommy, John, and Dan are like air traffic controllers making sure every tweet in the sky is monitored. They never miss a fucking shift. I wake up at 8 a.m. Eastern. Tommy's already yucking it up with Matt Negrin. It's like... And so I just always feel a little bit behind. So I want to wake up and work out because when I do that, my mood is better. My health is better. I'm more productive. I have to do that. I have to do that. Ronan and I are prone to a late bedtime. We are gamers at heart and it is very bad for the both of us. So we're going to work on that. And then also for next year, I obviously want to read more, but I actually just want to read more about issues that I care about. Like this is sounds silly, but I want to read a book about why infrastructure in America costs so much. It's something I care about and I don't feel like I know enough about it beyond the articles I read. You know what I mean? I want to go like a little bit deeper. Like I care about corporate consolidation, but I feel like after, like, I feel like I've run out of thoughts about it because I haven't read enough about it lately because we were so focused on the election. And I want to make more things. I want to talk about Star Wars in a podcast or something. I want to, like, create more and spend less time creating tweets.
It's good.
I'm going to just try to do baby steps on the, like, I'm going to tweet less and I'm going to read books. Like, that's obviously not going to happen, folks. It's not going to happen for me. But
this is good progress.
This is good. Yeah, no. I do want to just, like, lengthen my attention span. Yeah. Let's try that. So, like stretching. If I'm reading about news and politics, just, like, read longer stories. Spend time doing something where I am focused only on that thing and that I'm not picking up my phone while doing that thing or talking to a bunch of other people. I want to lengthen my attention span and focus more on what I'm doing. If I'm with family, if I'm with friends, whatever I'm with, focus on that a little bit more. I am not turning down any invitations to see people in 2021 yes. once the pandemic has gone down and people are vaccinated. I am going to everything.
Me too.
I am going to see everyone. And the other thing I want to do is, like, really spend the time catching up with friends and family that I have not been able to see or talk to that much in 2020 because of the pandemic. Because, like, God, if there's ever a question whether I'm, like, an introvert or an extrovert, this pandemic has made me realize I am an extrovert and I desperately need to see people and talk to people and have social interaction because this year is rough. And then the last thing for me is I just want to be more grateful because it has been a tough year and a real tough year for a lot of people. And I want to remember to be grateful for what I have and the people in my life. So,
yeah, it's a funny thing about the pandemic, which is, I'm surprised by how hard it is to stay in touch with people that I would have been in touch with during the pandemic. There's something about having less to talk about, and the things we do talk about are so depressing that, like, we kind of don't have as many stories to tell each other, and it makes the catch-ups, like, not as satisfying. And so, like, I think everybody has given each other more space than even I would have expected. And, like, I feel like even in this moment, like, my circle has shrunk a bit. Not that I don't, like, love all the people that I will very much reach out to and want to spend as much time with as humanly possible next year. But I do feel the same way. Like, I also feel, look, I without my weekly dose of 150 people applauding at the Improv, I'm barely able to get out of bed.
We were in a good place there for a minute, but yeah. So if we're going to more personal ones, so I had one that's holding grudges. Holding grudges is bad for you. The resentment, it just festers. It bothers you at a low boil. So 2021 is about finishing the job.
I thought we were getting to something like, you know, when you hold a grudge, it's poison, you take yourself, something like that.
You don't squash it, you win it. That's what 21 is about when it comes to grudges. And then this one for all of us and for our listeners, we're going to tune out Trump. We got to move on from this guy. It needs to be a collective act. He will remain in control of the Republican Party, but it's going to take discipline from all of us to not react and amplify the meaningless outrage of the day. He cannot be the country's national narrator of events for 2021, 22, 23, and 24. We got to remind ourselves that he is a shithead from New York who is now just a former president loser.
Didn't need to hear some anti-New York bias in there slipping in at the end. Seems unnecessary.
He's a shithead from South Florida.
Oh, he's in Florida. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
Apologies. Yeah.
So at the risk of, I don't want to predict anything because this will be played back to me next year, but, like, I've gone back and forth on this for a while. I think, like, he has a tight grip on the Republican Party. And because he has such a tight grip on the Republican Party, he will be a factor in politics and news coverage for a while. But, like, I've been thinking about it more the last week or so, especially since I've noticed it's even felt like in the last couple days, he hasn't been at the top of every headline. He hasn't been at the front of every news story. And I do wonder, like, if all he has is a big fucking Twitter feed, but he is not in the White House, he is not in Washington, he is not part of congressional negotiations, he is not part of, you know, foreign policy and foreign trips, like, if he's not part of all that stuff and all he has is his Twitter feed and his, like, calls to Fox and Friends, and he's always on Newsmax or OAN, like, maybe he really won't be that much part of the conversation. Like, there might actually be some hope for that.
I have no faith in Jeff Zucker and a bunch of fucking executives who decide these things, but
maybe.
I think it's more like, I think we have to actually internalize, like, Trump is important insofar as he is the leader of a dangerous right-wing anti-democratic movement. And the more central he is to that movement, which is a threat and is important, the more I think he'll be covered, and the more I think he'll probably deserve some coverage. But I think there are going to be a lot of people vying to see where this mob is going so that they might lead them.
Yep.
All right. Anything else?
Yeah. I mean, look, I want to dust off some classics. I just bought my first John Le Carré book. All right. I want to read them. All right. Also, you guys talked about your gym. Okay. I was roundly mocked a couple of years ago for saying I wanted to spend less time at the gym. I succeeded. So joke is on you.
Yeah, you
guys.
Shut them all down.
You conveniently ignored the other half of that resolution, which was eat healthier so you don't have to go to the gym. But that's okay. Not everyone is understood in their time. You know what I mean? But, you know, that's the real point here is, how do we get to parts? Like, remember back in the day when exercising was fun? You played sports or you like screwed around with your friends. And like, I want to get to a place where you're doing fun stuff again that happens to be exercise, like playing tennis. I don't know. Whatever.
Tennis. Hey, Tommy, maybe it's time for you and I to play some tennis.
I'd love to play.
If you love it, if you want to sub in for me, because Tommy and Hannah and Emily are all great tennis players, I am not. So maybe you can sub in for me when
I'd love to. No, tennis. When my friend Spencer suggested that he and I play tennis during the pandemic, like, I bought a tennis racket. I was so excited to have a new thing. Like, every new thing that comes along is like the most exciting thing that could happen. So yeah, tennis totally. In 2021.
I want to clean my car. I just wrote down a bunch of little ones.
Oh, you got more?
Keep going.
I don't want to stop you. You just paused for a second. I have no more.
I haven't cleaned my car in over a year, and it makes Hannah very annoyed. It looks like, it used to be black, and now it's just sort of a gray, and I think that she doesn't love that. Last thing I have, I had a period during quarantine where I was playing a lot of guitar, like, and playing almost every night, and I got so much better so quickly, and I want to figure out almost a curriculum for myself and sort of a reasonable schedule that's like 3 times a week. You play for 20 minutes. And just commit to that, and then I'll be happy.
Even though we've been in quarantine for almost a year now, the last month I've started like really playing piano again, and it does feel like, wow, an activity, something new, something different, something to like have my mind work a different way. So I actually want to do the same thing with piano.
I just, on the car front, I'm hoping this is repaired by the time this episode has come out. So like every morning I've been borrowing Ronan's mom's car. So that's Mia Farrow's car, and driving to McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, or Starbucks to the drive-thru. And I get myself a coffee. I get Ronan.
What
and
a variety
coffee.
Of places that you're attending.
Variety is the spice of life, John. And I get the Dunkin' Donuts, I transfer it into a tumbler, and then I Purell my hands, and then I can have it. And it's like a routine. I put on my mask when I go through the drive-thru, though a lot of people don't. The problem is, so I pour out the plastic cup, then I close the plastic cup, then I throw it into the bottom right.
Yep.
And when I say the well of Mia's car filled with garbage, plastic cups, crumpled up breakfast sandwich containers.
I hate cars like that.
Like,
I hate people who do that with their
literally,
cars.
Literally,
throw your
you
shit
couldn't
away.
Get in. If you open that door, they will fall out the side. It's my dirty secret.
John,
nobody knows but me.
John, you remember when Lovett's car, I think it's the same car you have now, when the side mirror was literally taped on, and then he lost the key, so he had literally a clothes hanger inside the thing where you turn it on. Is that still the case?
Yeah. No. I got a new car, but I still have that car, but I fixed that.
That was one of the reasons I wouldn't get in a car with him on the highway.
Mia asked where the keys were, because she was going to go get the mail and drop off some books at Goodwill. And I was like, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll take care of it for you. No. I'll do it. Because I don't want her to see what's going on in there.
Well, hopefully now this will fix it by her listening to this.
This is good.
It's a deadline.
This is a good cleansing of the takes, cleansing of the resolutions, cleansing of the car.
Last one before we go, then, you know, I said I want to be more grateful. Like, I am very, very grateful, and I know you guys are too, for all of you, for our listeners, because grateful for you guys not just listening, but, you know, telling us what you think, whether it's praise or criticism, tweeting at us, reaching out to us, and most importantly, you know, 300,000 of you adopted a state and did volunteering, sometimes for the first time. You donated, you made calls, you did text banks, all during a pandemic when a lot of shit was going on and it was a really tough year. So many of you stepped up to work really, really hard in this election. And I don't know, the best part of this job is having a community of people like all of you who are so engaged and so committed. So we love all of you guys. Yeah. Thank you.
And our amazing team here at Crooked Media who enables everything that we are able to do despite being like the little engine that could. Not nearly enough folks to do all the things that we try to take on this year, but everybody did it with just enormous optimism despite being all the fun parts of work and all the time we got to hang out just being ripped away from us by this virus. You know, we're still just incredibly successful and just so grateful to them and to all the listeners. And yeah,
I think about the fact that this has been like a 4-year fight, you know, and I think if we had been able to be together more, celebrate more, not just, you know, a few gatherings outside in front of the White House, but like the joy of having been in this fight together for so long and been through something so hard and so awful. And like the promise of something better. I feel like I am sad of what we were denied by this pandemic and the failed response, but like I really do go into 2021 so hopeful, so excited about the possibility of a better year. It really is in front of us. And as hard as this has been, and as sad as I've been and depressed as I have been, that light at the end of the tunnel has mattered. And I'm so glad we can say that we won this election, because imagine how we'd feel if we hadn't.
Oof, my God.
Wow. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
We will see you in 2021. And here is to a much better year.
And spicy takes.
Pod Save America is a Crooked Media production. The executive producer is Michael Martinez. Our associate producer is Jordan Waller. It's mixed and edited by Andrew Chadwick. Kyle Seglin is our sound engineer. Thanks to Tanya Sominator, Katie Long, Roman Papadimitriou, Quinn Lewis, Caroline Rustin, and Justine Howe for production support, and to our digital team, Elijah Cohn, Nar Melkonian, Yale Freed, and Milo Kim, who film and upload these episodes as videos every week.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.